I'm visiting with Bradley Crone with United States Envirofuels. And Brad, we met most recently during the time that Florida was debating the repeal of its RFS, and thought it might be good to have a little follow-up with you and your company as it relates to how things are going right now in the industry, especially on the national level with the RFS and some of the things that are happening there. So let's just maybe start with you telling me a little bit about how things are going first with United States Envirofuels.
Well, we have a 30 million gallon a year advanced ethanol plant project that is conventional, well-proven Brazilian style technology to process sugarcane as our primary feedstock and sweet sorghum as our secondary feedstock into advanced low carbon ethanol and renewable power. The project is designed. We've raised capital in our first and second funding rounds, and we have been issued our three major permits by the state of Florida for construction. So we are very, very close to construction. Currently, we're in the process of getting our project fully funded.
Right now, we do have a whole lot of things going on with the RFS. Tell me about what, from your perspective, what you see happening and the impact that those things have or potentially will have as we move forward to companies like yours.
I believe that the oil industry is currently succeeding in stymieing or chilling the investment into next generation ethanol, whether it's, you call it Gen 1.5 or Generation 2 ethanol, primarily through three fronts that the oil industry is focused on. The first is repeal of the federal RFS, an all-out repeal or a significant compromise of the RFS in Congress. The second is a repeal of EPA's approval of E15, or gasoline that contains 15% ethanol. And then the third is flat-out refusal to blend percentages of ethanol higher than 10%. Which effectively is not complying with the mandated volumes under the RFS to go to higher blends of ethanol. All these factors are contributing to the financial community being very, very skeptical or weary of investing into the ethanol industry, no matter how good a project is, no matter how viable a project is for advanced ethanol. The financial community sees tremendous political instability for the future of ethanol. Whether or not there's actual repeal of the RFS, it doesn't matter. The financial community just does not like that uncertainty and instability from a political standpoint for the future of ethanol. So it's making it very, very difficult to get our project funded, especially on the equity side.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's my understanding that in the case of the project that you've got going on there in Florida, that you're still in the process of getting your funding for that project secured, and you're looking at a project that can bring new jobs, income for a state like Florida. And of course, this could apply anywhere for that matter. So right now, if you look ahead, do you have a sense for what's going to happen here? Because, when you talk about this uncertainty, it certainly is understandable that investors are going to maybe be wary, and it means that there's going to be delays no matter what, right?
Right, and because of that, we've decided to what we call make a pivot on our project, slightly change the scope of our project, whereby we simply go forward on completing the design and the financing and the construction of the front end of our sugarcane ethanol plant. So that means we essentially continue with the same process design and same footprint and same equipment on the front end, in which we essentially build what's called a syrup mill. Sugar cane was crushed, the juice is extracted and clarified and concentrated into a syrup, and we will sell that clean sugar stream of about 70 degree bricks to a variety of end users. And then in the future, we can add on at the back end of the facility, which would be the ethanol production process from fermentation of sugar, or we can go to other types of advanced drop-in biofuels, all from sugar fermentation, or even we can go to fermentation to bio-based chemicals, all from sugar. Mm-hmm. So we have tremendous optionality by leaving the back end of the facility open and just focusing on the front end, which is essentially the syrup mill. So with that, we've gone forward with our second funding round. We have brought in additional investment. We've raised $650,000 towards completing the detailed design engineering, which will get us to a detailed cost estimate for our EPC contract. And we've brought in addition to our 8 grower investors in Florida, we've brought in 5 additional corn ethanol, corn farmer, corn ag businessmen out of Iowa and Minnesota in our second and current funding round in order to go forward on the detailed engineering of the syrup mill. And, of course, there's opportunity for additional investment in this current funding round.
Mm-hmm. Well, in what I think you said early on was, you know, this is some proven technology that, you know, we see working very wide scale in a country like Brazil. And you're trying to really do something that's going to help the multiple industries here, because you mentioned the agricultural sector. Certainly that's what this relates directly to. At the same time, producing a product that essentially is going to continue as we move forward with biofuels, help us become less dependent on importing oil, especially from countries that just plain don't like us.
There's the phrase that many have heard possibly by now, sugar is the new oil, or sugar is the new petroleum. Once you get to a clean sugar stream, then you can take it into a variety of directions where you can displace products that are made from petroleum. Sugar can go into ethanol or advanced drop-in biofuels such as hydrocarbons that are similar to gasoline or biodiesel. Or sugar can go into butanol, isobutanol production, or sugar can go towards bio-based chemicals that are historically made from petroleum. So what we're doing is we're taking a very, very well-proven Brazilian technology and simply adapting it to meet Florida environmental regulations. And the other factor is that we're using sugar cane not linked to food use. We're not competing with cane growers that grow cane for sugar mills that produce sugar for food use. We're working with growers that are growing a dedicated bioenergy crop or a bio dedicated biochemical crop if it goes towards biochemicals, but a dedicated crop for our facility that's not linked to food use.
Well, it, you know, just sounds like it not only is something that makes sense, it's a boon for the local community in which you are. In your case, this is Highlands County, Florida, building this facility. If people want more information, I think we can direct them to your website, which is usenvirofuels.com, and there's information there on projects like this, correct?
Yeah, you can get all our contact information on our website, www.usenvirofuels.com, and we have done an economic impact study with John Urbanchuk, for the ethanol plant project, that is, and the facility would generate 60 direct jobs and as much as 700 indirect and induced jobs for Highlands County.
Well, fantastic. Well, we are going to wish you continued success as you move forward with this project. I just thought it was a great opportunity to connect with you to see how things are going since we met each other and visited not all that long ago. So anything else, Brad, that you guys are doing that we didn't touch on here that we might want to let folks know about?
Well, until the ethanol industry can weather the storm and or the war, if you want to call it, that the certain elements of big oil have launched on the ethanol industry to stymie the industry or in what some people believe, maybe even squash the industry. Until ethanol can weather that storm and get through it from a political standpoint in Washington, so that the political stability of the RFS remains intact, I think we have to be, as developers of biofuel projects, we have to be flexible, and we have to be willing to change the scope of our project if necessary in order to not completely fail because there's no money flowing into ethanol investment right now.
Yeah.
So we're very optimistic about how we've modified our scope, and we're going forward on our project, and hopefully one day we will be able to add on the ethanol capacity sooner than later to the back end of the plant.
Yes. Well, we will certainly hope so as well. Thank you very much again, Brad Krohn, manager of Highlands EnviroFuels, and he's also president of United States EnviroFuels, LLC. I'm Chuck Zimmerman.